Father in heaven, we come again to you and thank you for this precious book. We fix it open again and feed upon it for the spiritual man. And we ask that you give us wisdom, give us understanding, help us to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord, and meet with us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bible, if you will, please, and turn we, first of all, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're familiar with these verses. I want to use this as a kind of a launching pad for the message today. 2 Timothy, again, chapter 3. We'll read down about verse 16 and 17. The Apostle Paul says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is pure, profitable for doctrine." That simply tells me everything that God has written in this book is inspired by Him, and it's for a purpose. It's profitable. It's important. It helps us. It assists us in doctrine. That's teaching. We don't learn things without being taught, either by our own sight, by our own study, or by someone teaching us. And so this is what God is teaching about His Scriptures. He said, for reproof, that means conviction. He also said, for correction, that means changing direction we're going and setting things right when they're wrong. Then He says, for instructions in righteousness, that means to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. So He covers a great thing here about we as individuals, if we're going to learn about Him, we have to understand He's given us His Scriptures. He's given them for a reason. They teach us in doctrine. They teach us for reproof. They teach us in correction. They instruct us in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The word perfect there means simply mature. That the child of God may be mature enough to understand what God is saying and what they're doing and how to apply that in their life. Now, it may be strange, but turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 1. Because you put it together in a minute, and you see what we're talking about. In John chapter 1, John has been over to a place called Bethabara, which was really is Bethany, but he's been baptized in the River Jordan. And on the 29th verse, he says that the next day, John sees Jesus coming to him, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Now, before I give you the title, I want you to turn with me to the book of Genesis just for a moment, if you will. Genesis chapter 22. In Genesis chapter 22, we have the record, if you remember, about Abraham and his son. Now, here 1,900 years before John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world," as Jesus approached him, as he saw him for the first time as the one that God said would come. He repeats back, even back in Abraham's day, and you look at the story of Abraham, I'll tell all of this, but they went up, he took his son up Mount Moriah, we all know that, and he said in verse 6, "And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering," and noted, "he laid it upon Isaac, his son, and he took the fire in his hand, and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake to Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire, the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering, so that they both went on them together." Now, amazing thing, Abraham was going to offer his son as an offering. But he says to his son, God's going to supply a lamb. And we see down in verse 13, he did. And Abraham lifted up his eyes as he's going to offer his son, and looked, and behold, behind him stood a ram caught in the thicket of his horns. And we see again the play out of salvation. The innocent taking the place of the guilt, and in this case, the ram taking the place of Abraham's son, Isaac. Now, some people talked about Isaac here. How old was he at this time? Well, we know he had to be somewhere between 7 and 8 years old, simply because he was carrying the wood. And he would not have been able to carry it that far. He carried the wood for the offering itself. We also know that as you look at him going up that particular hill, he was old enough to carry the wood and the fire there. He was old enough also to know what it was to give a sacrifice, because he told to his dad about where's that lamb for the sacrifice. So he had intelligence enough. He was old enough to have intelligence to know that there's going to have something happen here, even though he may not have understood about how he played into it at that particular time. We also know that he could not have been no older than 12 years old, because scholars conclude at that particular time, if he was younger than 12 years old, he'd have to be that, because he could not be used as a sacrifice if he's a teenager, and a teenager would be counted at 12 at that time. So he had to be, his son had to be somewhere between 7-8 years old and about 12 years old, if you look at the situations as things would be done and knowing about the sacrifice and so forth. But now we move, he asks this, where is the Lamb? And then 1900 years later, John the Baptist on the shore of Jordan saw Jesus coming, and he cried out, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Now, ladies and gentlemen, how do we know this is true? Because this morning, God reveals himself through his inspired word. This book is inspired. What we know about God will come because God revealed himself to us. Now, I'm afraid we live in an age today that my folks have been hearing me tell you this a lot lately, because we know more about the historical record about Jesus Christ than we do what he's doing now. And I want to remind you and I both something about learning things. In this particular life, ladies and gentlemen, God's word is information for us, just like when you went to school and got information in whatever you were studying. You had a textbook. God has given us his word with information. Now, anybody can read this book for information. By the way, it's inspired information. So anybody can read this book, even though we know it's inspired information. But on the other hand, they cannot understand the inspiration part about it. They can read it like anybody else when it comes to just reading, but taking it is different. Why? Because there's something taking place in this age that's wonderful, and that's called the Holy Spirit coming to tabernacle among you and I. Now, information, though, must become revelation. Inspire information must become inspire revelation. And what happens is we hear the information coming by being taught, like I'm trying to do today, or by preach, or by studying some subject. We get the information at that time. We know this morning, best I can do, I'm trying to teach from an inspire information that God has given us. But you see, it never means anything to us unless we realize this came from God information, and I want to receive it myself, so God has given it to us as information like anything else you and I should know or can know. But then he says, there's another set here, there's another situation here. It has to become what he considers to be revelation. And so this God who gives us this inspired information, he has to be taken in by an inspired revelation, because you'll never understand it unless God reveals it to us. Ladies and gentlemen, I stand here till I die, day after day after day, and try to teach you this book. And the Holy Spirit can help me do that, but unless you have the Holy Spirit, you'll never understand a lot of what I'm saying. You say, "Now, wait, preacher, I got a better mind than that." No, you miss something if you think God's going to reveal something outside of his plan. God has given us his word. He's inspired that. Now, why do you say that, preacher? I can give you information, but only God can take that information and give you revelation. I can't make you understand what I'm saying and teach it all the way as possible, but he has to be the ultimate person to make us understand. And a lot of people, from the time the information they hear, a lot of them don't even hear the information. But from the time they hear the information to where God can revelate it, give revelation, is cut off somewhere along the line, because the information seems so foolish to them, they don't want it. And it never becomes real. So the information has to be revelation. God only can take the information and give it to you as revelation from him. Now, an amazing thing, we see some things, we miss it sometimes. When Jesus Christ was here on this earth, he was with the disciples. Understand, I said the word with. He was with the disciples. He didn't live in the disciples. He was with them. That simply means that anything they wanted to know, they had to go where he was at to ask him, or have him come where they were at. Get this with me now. So while Jesus is here for 3.5 years teaching, though he's here for 33.5 years, while he was teaching, those disciples had to be with him to understand what he was saying, to hear him. And many times you find in the gospel they were looking for Christ for some reason or another. But notice what Jesus tells us. Jesus tells us in John 14 and John 16. He tells us he sent the Holy Spirit of God. He tells in John 14, 16 through 18, verse 26 and so forth, that there's the Holy Spirit of God. And Jesus said, "I've got to go back to the Father so the Holy Spirit can come back here. And when he comes, he's going to teach you all things." In other words, Jesus was saying, "I'm with you, and I can only teach you with me in this body when I'm with you." Now, I can move pretty fast. If I'm in one place, and if I need to, I don't necessarily have to walk. He had the power to do some supernatural things. But he walked everywhere he went, unless he rode a donkey of some kind. But I want you to know, he says, when the Holy Spirit should come, listen to me, I'm going to send him to you. And disciples now look to Jesus to get help there. But he says, when the Holy Spirit come, if you're saved, we will never have to look for him. He's there. Wherever you go, the Holy Spirit's there if you're born again. If he's not, you're not born again. He said, I'll give you the Holy Spirit of God. He'll be with you until God calls you home. And therefore, the information that's inspired, which the Holy Spirit brought this inspired information, if it comes in like it should because you've been born again, and that'll start at the new birth, just like you can't understand physical information unless you're born physically. If you've never been born physically, you never know what math, history, and geography is. And you never know what God has said unless you're born spiritually, because it's for a spiritual family and this world knows nothing about it. That's the reason they go about creating their own God. So what he says is, he says, you have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit would take that information to you. And when you by faith receive that inspired information, he'll give you that revelation of that, who he is, who you are, why you need him. And when you reach out by faith, he'll give you the Holy Spirit. You won't never have to go looking for him. Now, it might be sometimes you have to get something right because he's grieved. But he'll never leave you because he gives them to us. Now, the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. And God tells us in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, he said, God is not mocked. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man reap, soweth that shall he reap. So what God tells us is this. What God tells is for us. It's not for him. This book is for us, the child of God. And that includes the Old Testament, Israelites, and everything else in Adam's day. It's not for him. It's for us. And so we learned this book with God's help. And we asked him to give us information. And then we asked God to give us revelation. And it's both inspired. So I want to talk a few minutes on God reveal himself through his word. Plato said years ago, and I quote, unless a God-man comes to us and reveals to us the supreme being, there is no help or hope. This world will never be set right until the perfect man arises up who will be persecuted, buffeted, and tied to a stake, and so bring a new righteousness. Socrates said also, he said, and I quote, Socrates said, oh, that someone would rise, man or God, to show us God. In God's word, though, he has provided for us satisfaction for every appetite that he creates in us. You have an appetite for hungry. God created a hungry, and he created food for that appetite. God created thirst, and he created water for that appetite. God created this thing about to know, the desire to know things, and in that, God created for that desire knowledge. And it works in the spiritual world also. For every appetite that he created, ladies and gentlemen, he has provided fulfillment for that appetite. And when it comes to the things of God, it's the same way. If a man's thirsty and don't know what water is, he'll never quench that thirst. Because water is the thing that God gives us to quench. You drink anything else and you'll still be thirsty after a period of time. Well, leave out water, but you drink water and it satisfies. Hungry. You're talking about being hungry. On the food that is for the body that we have will actually help this body to not be hungry. So God gives people that other appetites, though, other than that which he can also feel. He provides the fulfillment of an appetite when he gives us that appetite. And he gives people other appetites that he only can fulfill. I mean, this same God gives human beings the appetite, for instance, to live forever. And I'll prove that to you. Someone says, well, I don't know, so I care. Yes, you do. That's the reason. Let me get into the service. I've never seen anyone who really wants to die, if possible, if they had good health. Now, I've heard sometimes some teenagers fab off to a parent and say, I wish I were dead because they couldn't have their way. I've heard sometimes some mate, husband and wife, say something to their mate because of situation. I just wish I'd get out of here. Lord, take me home. We might say some things out of context at times because, or out of sarcasm sometimes. But it matters not whether you're a PhD or whether you sign an X on your check, it matters not if you speak Greek or Spanish or German or French, or whether you can't even speak English good, people want to live. When I see that, it amazes me that God had given us a desire to do that. It's an appetite we have. And so here, this is why medical profession spends millions of dollars a year trying to extend life for you and I on this earth. This is why we have doctors and hospitals and medicine and chemists and druggists. This is the reason you have hospital insurance. Let me ask something. You'd use that insurance if you didn't think it'd try to help you live a little longer. You'd say, man, why should I spend all that kind of money for insurance? We do think somehow or another it's a means of helping us in this life. And that's the reason we look at it. If you don't have any, you watch out. You wish you did have some later on because that stuff is expensive. Why do we buy insurance? Because we think it'll help us live a little bit longer if we get sick. What is that? That's an appetite in us to think about life more than just a few weeks, a few months as we go through this particular life. Now, if I could arrange to give you a pill today, if I invent one pill that you could take that would make you live forever, no matter what it would cost, the highest bidder would probably get it. They'd buy it and take it. Why? Because they want to live forever. Don't think about it. If I made it, you wouldn't get it. I'd take it. Amen. What I'm saying to you, get this thing that we understand this. We thank God for every day he gives to us. And yet sometimes when we get older and some things happen, tragedy happens, there's some terrible situations. And even then God gives grace to a lot of folks that we never know what about because he gives grace to people in those situations at that time. To be honest with you, God has given you an appetite to live, not to die. Even though in Hebrews 9 he says it's appointed a man wants to die. He makes that appointment. Now let's look at three instinct appetites, ladies and gentlemen, for our belief system while we wait for that appointment. Now here, and I've said this, I'm going to give you something back I gave you a couple years ago because you need to understand, this is a reason why we're not animals. God has given us a sequence. In Isaiah 1 verse 18, he said, come now, let us reason together. It is this great God has made us in his image, and he wants to reason with us. Isn't it amazing? God wants to reason with us about what he's doing, and yet not burglarize our will to get us to conform to what he wants done. And so when I think that, I look at how I think. And you know, I've set forth an idea to conceive thought. A thought becomes a foundation concept that's basic for the thought. A concept is cultivated, a theory is a plan. You do something with that thought or theory. A theory sets forth a philosophy, its search for knowledge and wisdom. A philosophy forms the foundation of a belief system, and your belief system becomes the motivation of one's action or your actions. You believe, you do what you believe. And this is the reason why I understand the reason with God in this thought process. Breaking it down, how I can reason and think and do these things, and how God starts out with an idea and come out a belief system that helps me move in a direction. And here's one of the reasons I never believe in evolution. Because God gave me understanding about how I can reason about things, and since he is God and the author of everything, you can mark it down. He's going to show us some things that he wants us to know. We cannot just arbitrarily think we want to say some things and he won't accept it. Three things quickly. Number one, God reveals himself through his word. Number one, God has given man, notice, an instinct, belief in a sacrifice. Anywhere on this earth you go, any religion you see, there will be people who give sacrifices because of something wrong in their life or sin or some tragedy or something. By nature, there is in man a realization that he must offer a sacrifice for his sins. In the Old Testament, there's the god Moloch, who was kindly like a Buddha god sitting in his lap and out front with a fire in his lap. In this situation, take a young couple. They honor that religion. They may be born into a religion where Moloch was the god. They've seen this statue many times. They've seen this happen. They have something happen in their life. They feel guilty about something. And they take a little baby in their arms and they go up to this place and offer the baby in the fire of that lap of that god Moloch. Simply because they feel that they must offer a sacrifice for their sin. They feel like they have to make a peace with God, whoever he is. Not knowing who he is, they make their own or they accept someone else's who's already been made. And they follow tragical things like that. in Egypt, Africa. They give their children to alligators, worship the Nile River God for sacrifice. In the dark jungles of Africa, natives beat their drums and offer a pig, a horse, or some other animals as a sacrifice. Why do they do that? They have an instinct feeling in their minds and their hearts that they must offer something because something is not right. And whoever this God is, surely he must be pleased by giving such a sacrifice. And he does it in vain in his own life. Now, if human beings has a desire to offer sacrifices in death for his own sin, don't you think that God, who provided this appetite, would provide a sacrifice to fulfill this instinct hunger for the need of a sacrifice? Yes. And that's the reason he shows us from the very beginning in Adam's day. He slew an animal and clothed them, and down through the year gave prototypes for Jesus to come to the animal, or to the sacrifice, who was a man, not an animal, to the sacrifice could be given that God could be pleased with at that particular time. And so here we see Christ is the sacrifice for sin for us, so we might become living sacrifices for him. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Before we have been wakened unto the Lord, anything we do is a dead sacrifice. But once we've been quickened before God, Ephesians 2, been made alive unto him, been born into the family of God, then he said, I want you, the born again, not the unsaved, the born again, to become a living sacrifice. The only problem with us is living sacrifices, though, it wants to crawl off the altar at times. We'd like to get away from the altar, right? Right? Everybody think I'm right? Stand up. No, don't do that. No, don't do that. Number two, God has given man something instinctive in his heart that makes him cry for a God man. Because all he tries to do in making his God never suits him. So somewhere along the line, they think there's got to be a God man that no one else is like. And so in their mind, and since man has failed, his hunger for somebody who is both God and man in one body. And since Adam and Eve failed, ladies and gentlemen, man has looked for such a man. The Hindus have such men. They call like Krishna or Rama. 1,000 years before Christ came, the pagan religion in the far eastern world called Zoroaster said, God, and I quote, God will never be known until he reveals himself in human form. So this fallen world has looked for someone who is a God, but not man, and who is man, but not God. He's a God-man. He can feel for man because he's been there, and he's God, and he's the one who brings the two together. Many years before Jesus Christ came, the Grecian in their God, Greek pagan mythology, looked for God-man. In every generation beats a heart desiring to see God in the flesh. And since they can't, they create something they can see. And if it can be created and get a group to follow it, the next generation will be more. The next will be more if there's not something to counteract that false God. Plato said again, the world will never be set right until the perfect man rises who will be persecuted, buffeted, and tied to stake, and so bring a new righteousness. The Roman Empire even gave their emperors as gods. They deified them. The Roman Senate voted and declared Caesar Augustus as divine. The Shinto religion deified their emperors also. There's not a person on this earth, ladies and gentlemen, whether he or she believes there is life after death or not, that does not desire to live after death. They'd like to know there's something beyond death. In fact, they'd rather not even die if they could live here and not be miserable with some fallen health of some kind. I've seen some people so bad off they wanted to die. And by the way, you can get that way too. We can get that way. It's not worth living when you get to the point the doctor says, there's no help, you're in pain, you find yourself sometime asking God, especially if you're a child of God, go ahead and take you home. So God has given man something instinctively that wants to give a sacrifice. God's given man something instinctively in his heart that wants to look for God-man. And number three, God has given man something in his heart that makes him want to live forever. Now, here's the interesting thing about that. This book is telling us about that and tell us why we are dying. Tell us what sin is. And its wages of sin is death. This book has given us all the inspired information that's needed. And God is trying to reveal the inspired information as inspired revelation. So we can understand what he's doing is not fickle stuff. This stuff is planned out from the beginning of time. He's working it out. And we come along in time and try to adjust and everything as human beings, and do so, we adjust him out of the picture. And he's going to come back one day and show you can't get him out of the picture. He's going to be here forever, and therefore so shall we if we do that. So what happens is this. Over 2,000 years ago, God in flesh was the God-man. Jesus Christ was his name. Listen, I'd like to say those who are looking for the sacrifice that's beyond any other sacrifice, I'd like to say to those who are looking for the God-man, I'd like to say to those who are looking for someone who can live forever, we found him, but better still, he's found us. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. He is the one who's laid it out for us to have the information and also revelation about what's going on here. What happens then? 2,000 years ago, God in the flesh was the God-man, Jesus Christ. This satisfied the appetite that for had to have a sacrifice, because he became our sacrifice. He was made sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in him. Isn't that a wonderful verse? God did that for us if we trust him as our Savior. The God-man went to Calvary and provided a sacrifice. This was the second appetite that he satisfied, because Jesus Christ was the God-man. Then I find out that this satisfied the appetite. Then the God-man went to Calvary to provide a sacrifice, and then Jesus went to Calvary so man might live forever with him and God the Father. This satisfied the third appetite, and that's given eternal life. Jesus Christ is the answer to our spiritual appetite when it comes to wanting to give a sacrifice, and even people get saved sometimes, or hear people say, try to get them saved, they say, but there's something I got to do before I can get saved. Well, you tell me what you got to do. Then one thing I know that anybody can do, I could not tell someone what to do other than believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to get saved. Amen. Could nobody else? Could you? I don't have nothing else. Anything else would be false. So I have to give the gospel to a person who would listen to that situation in life. So Jesus Christ is the answer for all three of these. He satisfies all three of these appetites that God has given man. Instead of us doing like they did in Africa or the Nile and other places, we come bow down before Jesus Christ, who we cannot see with the physical eye, but he's real there because it's all by faith. Hebrews chapter 11. I believe that Jesus Christ was the God-man. Look at the wonderful story of his birth. When he came and God, through artificial insemination, planted his seed in Mary's womb, bypassed man where sin was transported. And in turn, that which was born is not just the son of a man. He's the only begotten Son of God. Amen. Therefore, he's able to become God in the flesh. And by the way, God in the flesh, though, can only be where he's at when they were with him. He was with man, but he couldn't live in man. But in the plan and purpose, when the sacrifice was given, the God-man came. Praise be unto the name of the Lord. He went back to be with the Father. He sent us the Holy Spirit of God to live within us. Amen. This world knows very little about that, because salvation to them has been what God you believe in. If you talk about Jesus Christ, Satan has erupted the inspiration, the fact that they don't see exactly what God is doing today with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And people say they trust in him, but they never live for it. Ladies and gentlemen, when you see this, you begin to see what John meant when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." No matter who you are, this peace can only come by the sacrifice. God's only sacrifice is his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who John declared to be the Lamb of God. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment for the desire for the sacrifice. He's the fulfillment for the desire of the God-man. He's the fulfillment for the desire to live forever. What this world is looking for is Jesus Christ. But they don't see him. Why? They are blinded by making their own way and trying to create their own God, which doesn't hear. A God without eyes, ears, no mouth, can't speak. But Jesus Christ himself said, "When I go back to the Father, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. You know what he's going to do to you? He's going to teach you all those things that I've taught you. and much more. Because we're going to give you my word. And begins the word, and word what's God, and word which is God. In other words, this is the very word of God, as if God, who is the word, the logos in this world. And we hear from this, he helps us put it together where the world cannot see. And what this world is looking for is Jesus Christ. And we have found him, or better, he's found us. For Jesus is seeking to save that which is lost. Luke 16, verse 10. Jesus is seeking to save that which is lost. But they'll never understand who he is unless they get the information that's inspired. It's got to come from this book, not from just somebody's mind. Unless they hear that information and receive that information as revelation, and then the Holy Spirit of God comes in to reveal that revelation of what God says to us about to do. And you study this book. How do you do that? Know that. Because he'll reveal things to you that just blows your mind sometime. How do you learn about math? Somebody's got to teach you 2 plus 2 is 4. And you can say 2 plus 2 is 4, 2 plus 2 is 4, 2 plus 4, and you find it memorized and you got in your mind. And you get older, you might forget a little bit of it, but you still memorize it. But this is not memorization. This is divine revelation. Amen. Now, memorization is good because it fits it in our heart. But divine revelation is how we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord, as Peter tells us to do. So, without the Bible, we would never know anything about the sacrifice for sin. We never know, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, he was made sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in him, that is Jesus Christ, when we trust him as Savior. Without the Bible, we never know what that sacrifice was. We receive information by faith. You remember what God said in Romans 10, 17? Faith cometh by hearing. Faith, such as things hoped for, everything's not seen, comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Read it, Romans 10, 17. And so what happens is, receive information by faith, and then in turn, inspired information becomes inspired revelation when we believe. Without the Bible, we wouldn't have what true to believe. Without Jesus Christ, we would never have known who God the Father is. He said in John 14, in verse 7 through 11, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Everything that I am, God has put in me for the Father if he was here. Though he's the Son incarnated, he said, you see me, you see why? He and the Father are the same or identical. Amen? Identical. Just like the Holy Spirit and the Father and Son are identical in the sense of their knowledge and their know-how. And so without Jesus Christ, we would never have known who God the Father is. Without Jesus Christ, we never have known about eternal life that 2 Peter tells us we have. So in Jesus Christ, I thank the Lord, I understand that he satisfied the desire for sacrifice, to do something. He satisfies that. And in Jesus Christ, I understand that he is the God-man. Then in Jesus Christ, I understand that eternal life. Because in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, he says, according to his divine power, hath he given to us all things that pertaineth to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that had called us to the glory and virtue. Isn't it amazing? It's what I've been teaching you now for the last 30 minutes. Peter sums it up. He gives this to us through the knowledge of him. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Watch. And then he says, according to his divine power and given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us, and I'm reading 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises that by these great and precious promises that's given to us through knowledge inspired, which becomes faith, divine revelation, he says, whereby have given us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Isn't that amazing? Here we were lost, headed to hell, and because of Jesus Christ, what he did, and our trust in him, and God revealed to us, and we just said, Lord, I just throw myself on the mercy of God's court and accept Jesus as my personal Savior, and ask you to save my soul. And he simply says this. He tells us again, and partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. In other words, what we see, this information, has been given, preserved for our day, to be taught, to be preached, to be proclaimed, to be heralded, to a heart that's in the image of God, that God can reason with, because we have the ability to take an idea and go through to a belief system. And then he tells us, because of that, then we trust Jesus as Savior. He said, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. You know what that is? The Bible says in Ephesians, that's the down payment of this divine life. The divine life of God gives us the new creation in Christ Jesus. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, but this body's going back to the dust. This body's never been redeemed. A lot of folks can't get the difference between the unredeemed body that caused all the trouble and the new life that's there. A child of God who's born again, who's occupied in Jesus Christ, won't just blame the body all the time for the problems, to live in sin all the time. Sometimes we realize we have things to trap us and so forth in this body. But on the other hand, this body, the Holy Spirit living in us with the Word of God that's growing in our hearts and life, ladies and gentlemen, will be enough to understand there will be a dwelling of Christ in a sense to do what God wants us to do. And those who do not fall in that line never really have the Holy Spirit of God. You think the Holy Spirit is going to come in and live somewhere someone never does any sign at all, anything about the Lord? Why would he? He'd be wasting a vacancy. But he said, I'll give it to you. Then reasoning, get it, just a down payment of that eternal life. And he said, because it's there. Now, when the church, which is the body of Christ, and we make the church, if you're saved, the body of Christ, because the Holy Spirit lives in us, and he said the Holy Spirit will represent me, because he can live in you. I, in a body, can only be with you, but the Holy Spirit will abide in you. And that Word of God hid there will come out. It'll come out, and the world will see. Salvation comes in and then out for the world to see, as this same Word is hid in our heart, that we might not sin against God to do the things that God has called us to do. One of these days, this body will go back to the dust. We'll say our last goodbye to it. But we're going to be sitting with Jesus at the right hand of the Father, because that's the information he's given us, which is divine information, revealing divine revelation about what God's doing. It's clear, but out this book, we wouldn't have it though. Do you have him? Do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior today? Has there ever been a time that you listened to the outside information? Which was, every time you read this book, it's divine information. It's inspired information. And it's revealing inspired revelation for those who want to see it. But if you look at it as historical, well, you can read a lot of things in it, but never put the dots together to see what God has done. It doesn't make us any smarter than anyone else. It just makes us believe God. Amen. Just believe God. Would you stand to your feet, please? God reveals himself through his Word. Father in heaven, Lord, there's so much here could benefit people if they just grasp it. But I believe it all my heart. That's the way God works. There's so much you said about your Word. The power of it to create, dear Father, everything we see. The heavens declare the glory of God because of the created power of God. And we thank you for that, Lord. And also, this new creation in Christ Jesus is that which God gives us, which is his divine life. And I thank you for that, Father. Now, I have presented the Word information to some. Let it be divine, inspire revelation to others. Lord, may someone today, here by radio or by upstream, hear a message for the first time and say, you know what, that makes sense. This thing of religion is just people doing what they want to do, feeling better about it for a while, and then looking for something else. Why do people beat themselves across this country and across the different, especially in different worlds, do more than America? It won't be nothing at times. In religious times, you see people taking chains and beating themselves, as if they're giving some kind of submission to their God, and he's pleased with that. Don't realize that Jesus Christ can only one can pay the sin debt. He has paid it. God says, I'm well pleased with him. Holy Spirit, please help us exalt him. Please help us put him up high so people can see him. The only thing we have is words. We have no pictures. We can use phrases to try to create pictures, but Lord, we just have His Word. God said, my Word will not return unto me void. I believe that. And if I can stick to this book and preach the Word, there's so much God's doing I may never see until we get on the other side. Sometimes people don't like it, but Lord, we try our best to be fair. Honor yourself. Holy Spirit, help me honor the Savior. Help this church to honor our Savior. Help every born-again believer here to understand knowledge is an important thing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I had to hear the gospel to be saved. I had to understand what a child of God is after they're saved. Understand why there's baptism, where it's needed or not needed. Dear Lord, there's things I'll still learn more in the family of God now, but knowledge. And after 55 years, I'm still learning so much, and so little time to get it out. Honor yourself today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.